Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Turning once again in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we are going to enter into the last section of the chapter. There are basically three sections, and we have covered two, but we come now to the final part of this chapter, but not the end of Paul's discussion of giving, because that continues on into chapter 9. It's an important enough subject that Paul takes two entire chapters to deal with it. But let's review what we have looked at so far. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth after Paul has revisited a number of churches on his second missionary journey. He crossed into Macedonia and planted three churches there, that's northern Greece, and then he was driven to southern Greece, known in those days as Achaia, because of persecution in the northern part called Macedonia. He had a brief ministry in Athens, which did not keep him occupied there very long, and then he moved west to Corinth, not far from Athens, and he spent a year and a half ministering there, evangelizing and establishing a church. He writes to the Corinthian church the first time, what we call 1 Corinthians, from the city of Ephesus, where he's ministering, and he answers questions which they forwarded to him. He deals with problems. One of the biggest was the problem of immorality by one of the members of their church that had not been properly addressed. But he also taught them sound doctrine, and he introduced the special project offering toward the end of the 1 Corinthian epistle, chapter 16. That project offering was a project that Paul had initiated among Gentile churches to receive a sizable contribution collected over a period of a year or so to send to the persecuted saints in Jerusalem. But now we are looking not at the 1 Corinthian epistle, but the second one. And Paul wrote that one from Macedonia rather than Ephesus, and about a year later after the 1 Corinthian epistle. And he explains his delay for not visiting them as quickly as they had anticipated. He answers critics who are trying to undermine him in several ways. He instructs them as to what to do with the repentant church member who had been disciplined severely and now has repented, and they don't seem to know how to deal with repentance. First, they didn't know how to deal with the immorality, and so Paul wrote in the 1 Corinthian epistle to clue them in on that thing, to prompt them to do what they needed to do. Now they've done it, and it's had, amazingly, its desired effect in bringing the man to repentance. Something that doesn't happen every time, that's for sure. In fact, something that doesn't happen probably in the majority of cases, but it does in some, and it did in this case, and Paul now has to write and say, this is what you do when somebody repents. You forgive them and bring them back in. It's amazing how easy it is for Christians to get sidetracked on the most basic issues. But also, he writes 2 Corinthians to facilitate the project offering that he introduced in 1 Corinthians 16. They aren't doing very well in collecting their amount, which they had pledged a year earlier. It's not coming in. And so in chapter 8, Paul reports on the remarkable churches of Macedonia and their sacrificial and generous giving. And then he prods Corinth and tells them he sent Titus to complete the project, to get them back on track and to finish up what they said they were going to do. And he urged them to develop full spiritual maturity, which includes to develop in the area of their giving. And he urged them to follow through on their previous commitment. Now, as we come to the last part of chapter 8, we find that Paul addresses four different partnerships. And I'll mention them before I pause, but there is, first of all, a ministry partner. Two, an accountability partner. Third, a behind-the-scenes partner. And fourth, a financial partner. Let's look at them one by one, but I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, May 31 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us financially. A ministry partner, mentioned several times. In verse 16, Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus." Verse 17, "For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord." Verse 23, "If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner." There's that key word. We're talking about ministry partner at this point. "If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren have inquired about us, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ." A ministry partner. Who is he? Well, of course, his name is Titus, and he's mentioned several times. In fact, there's an epistle in the New Testament to Titus. Three pastoral epistles, two to Timothy, one to Titus, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. So he's a very prominent ministry partner to Paul. In fact, I would say he is only second to Timothy in his relationship to Paul and in his dependability and value as one of Paul's ministry partners. Like Timothy, Titus is faithful and trusted and effective. We'll have to get to heaven to find out, but I suspect that when we get there, we will find out that Timothy and Titus receive great rewards for faithfully assisting Paul, for their faithful support of and commitment to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. For Paul to be effective, he needed faithful co-laborers, faithful partners, men who themselves are never going to rise in the eyes of other men to the prominence of the Apostle Paul. Only God can evaluate that properly in eternity. But one thing is sure, Paul's ministry required the help of faithful partners, and there were some people who, I don't know whether to use the word volunteer or not, some people who volunteered to help Paul who turned out to not be so dependable. In fact, it sounds like the majority of those who worked with Paul were not as committed and dependable as they should have been, but there were some who were exemplary, way above the norm in that area, and Titus was one of those. So Titus, described here as my partner in the ministry, verse 23, was evidently a preacher and a church-planting missionary who devoted his time and efforts as an assistant to Paul. Now, we don't know what he did after Paul died, but we do know that while Paul was living, he attached himself to Paul and made that his primary area of service for the Lord. He was an apostolic emissary. Paul calls him in this section a fellow worker concerning you. That is, Paul assigned Titus to work in a special partnership relationship with the church at Corinth, a church that Paul had founded with Titus as president and help, and a church that Paul was continuing to develop from a distance for the most part, though he visited on two or three additional occasions. But he couldn't be there all the time. He had other churches to attend to, other churches that he had planted that also needed to be helped and strengthened and taught and corrected, and Paul couldn't be in Corinth the whole time. Paul wasn't a pastor. He was a missionary. He was an apostle, but he was an apostolic missionary. He planted churches and then left them in the care of others, settled pastors who would settle down in that location. In most cases, were actually already in that location, people who were raised up in the churches that Paul planted. And they would carry on the spiritual leadership of the ministry of that local church, but they needed input. They needed oversight. They needed help. Paul supplied that need, but oftentimes through emissaries like Titus. And Titus was an apostolic emissary, a fellow worker concerning you, and Paul's personal representative to Corinth and to other churches as well. Why was he so effective? Well, Paul gives us three characteristics of Titus that made him effective. In verses 16 and 17, he was earnest, he was submissive, he was eager. Let's look at these in verse 16, 17, and 18. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Why was Titus effective? Well, verse 16 says he was earnest. He had the same earnest care for you that I did. Paul certainly was earnest in his ministry at Corinth and his concern for the Corinthian church. Titus was equally earnest. Paul certainly was diligent. We can couple these two ideas together, earnest and diligent. Paul certainly was diligent in his ministry in the city of Corinth. Titus was equally diligent. So he was effective because he was earnest. He was also effective because he was submissive. Verse 17, but he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. He accepted the exhortation. Paul exhorted him to go to Corinth. Paul assigned him to go to Corinth. Paul sent him to Corinth. And he went. He accepted the exhortation. He was happy to submit to Paul's authority, Paul's leadership. He didn't find that demeaning. He didn't resent that. He didn't resent being dispatched by the Apostle Paul. He didn't resent being in a position of submission to and aiding the Apostle Paul rather than being considered on equal standing with Paul. There is an authority relationship here that Titus recognized and submitted to gladly, and that made him effective. That's the reason why some of you are having difficulty being effective in your labors for the Lord. But he was not only submissive, he was also eager, it says in verse 17, that he went of his own accord. So he wanted to go, but when Paul sent him, he submitted to Paul's exhortation and went. And that's all we have time for. We'll take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.